morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios Live. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host and garden expert, Teresa Watkins. I'm so glad you're here with us today. I've got my cup of tea, and what do we have this morning, Lizzie? We got cowboy cookies.
Oh, my cheese and crackers. Let me tell you how good these cookies are. They're so good. I don't even have my headphones on, so I can't hear anything that Teresa is saying right now, to be honest with you. So I'll just continue to talk over her because I can, and I have no headphones on, but they're so good. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Tony, for making the cookies.
Yeah, they're great for breakfast. I mean, they're like the perfect cookie for breakfast.
Oatmeal?
Yes.
Yes.
Oatmeal. Yep. And coconut.
Okay, I have my headphones on now.
There you go. Thank you. Good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning. What is chaos, man? I literally, I got enamored with these cookies.
The cookies will do that to you. Oh. And how was your Labor Day weekend?
It was stupendous. Finally wrapped up the turkey run, the second part, the addition that we did, so we could move the big ones to the new run and put the little ones out, which we'd already done that, but I didn't finish wrapping everything up. Uh-huh. So, yes, so it was very productive. I put Shark to work. I had him laying concrete for a new shed for me. So,
nice. That's great. Well, the weather is damp, and it's going to be rainy the next few days. In fact, the entire week it's going to be rainy. I think Mother Nature is trying to catch up from the drought we had this spring.
Mm-hmm.
So Florida, for the next 7 days, North Central and South Florida, we're going to have 50 to 80% chance of seeing mushrooms in your yard.
That's 100% every day for me. I have got the most mushroom-filled yard ever. I take pictures. They're gorgeous.
I love mushrooms.
Red ones, white, yellow ones, orange ones, green ones, purple ones. I mean, I have got and I don't plant them.
No.
They're just grow. Oh, and I sent you those ones that look like belly buttons.
Yes. Isn't that weird?
It was weird.
So we're going to be talking about that this morning, but I want to just let you know, Altoona, you've had since Monday 8.21 inches of rain.
And anybody that doesn't know, that's North Lake County.
North Lake County. Mount Verd, 7.93 inches.
South Lake County.
Lake Mary, 6.81 inches. And Deltona, 6.24 inches. And Lockhart, 6.2 inches of rain. So why am I always talking about the weather? It's because water conservation is very important to me. That's been my whole career, is helping people understand and learn about our precious resources, and it's at the top of the list of everything that is good or wrong with your landscape is water. And you know, if you don't use enough, like we had this drought, you're going to see shrubs and trees die, and from this drought in the springtime, we're going to see trees decline over the next 2 years that did not recover in time, but they're just kind of struggling and hanging on. And then all of a sudden in 2 years, they will die. And it will be because of this drought that we had in the spring.
That's crazy. That long of an effect. So you're like looking at your tree 2 years from now and you didn't realize this. And you're like, well, what happened to my tree?
Yeah. And it succumbed finally to the drought, and the roots, it damaged the roots so much, it desiccated them that, you know, and it's struggling. It's trying to survive. But also too, that, you know, it's also where we get a lot of rot. You know, people move to Florida and they think it's hot and we need to water often. I will tell you, honestly, we don't need to water again for the next month. Now, I'm not talking about containers or raised beds and vegetables. I'm talking strictly about your lawn.
Yes.
Your lawn and your established plants. And that Florida just waters too much. And I was talking with a peer at the garden annual conference that I go to every year. And she was from California, and Nan Sternum. And I said, you know, we have a water issue where we use too much water here in Florida. And she was shocked because of all their restrictions and drought controls water controls that they have in California. She was shocked that Florida, with all this water we have, we're having issues with water conservation.
And that's really crazy to think, too. We're a peninsula. Like, we have water problems of using too much water. That is crazy.
It is. And it's, but the issue is, it's not that we're running out of water. And I say this frequently, is that we're never, per se, going to run out of water here in Florida. The water goes up in the air and comes back down again. The earth has the same amount of water It had millions of years ago. It is the fact that we're running out of cheap, potable water. And as we do run out of water, potable water, we're going to have to go to other sources, whether it's desalinized, whether it is, reclaimed. We're never going to be able to depend on reclaimed and recycled water, again, because if we have a drought, then we don't have water. But the desalinization we have plenty of, it's just so expensive. So I want to just ask everyone over the next week, turn your irrigation systems off and conserve that water. Those of you in the Conch Republic, you're only going to see about 30% chance of rain this week, but your turn's coming up next week, and it'll be rainy enough too as well. So I am going to be talking about mushrooms today, this hour, and taking your gardening questions. I am so hyped from seeing so many beautiful gardens. If you'd like to go to Facebook, you can see one of the gardens that I took. I took over 2,000 photographs. I'm so filled with inspiration and design, I can't stand it. And so we are going to be talking this morning for you, to you, and you can just let us know if my text messages is working. Oh, it is, Brenda in Ocoee. Thank you so much. And we're going to be taking your phone calls, 1-888-455-2967. If it's Saturday morning, from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680, like Linda. I'm glad, Linda, you got on, and Brenda, and so you can send me a text message. Good morning, Howie, at Peterson's Nursery. He's listening this morning in Lakeland, and I know he has beautiful plants, flowers, and shrubs. Mm-hmm. And then Dana listens over in Quality Green Specialist and DeLand, and they always listen, and so it's just a good morning. I love rain. I just have to tell you, I do.
I like it every once in a while.
Well, the lightning storms have been really, really quite passionate.
Oh, I agree. And I actually thought that we potentially would have had a tornado Thursday evening, because I do a show here in Orlando. And when I came in, our windows are all blacked out, so right. We can't see through the window. But I could see the lightning through the window. And I'm like,
wow.
Yes, it's been crazy lightning.
That's exciting. That's exciting. So this week, as I was driving around doing consultations, I saw a lot of mushrooms in the yard. And, you know, are you a mushroom lover?
I love eating mushrooms, like the ones that you're allowed to eat.
Yes.
That you should eat then.
Right.
However,
because it would be bad if you ate the ones you didn't like.
Right. But I've over the last few years, since I've gotten my garden growing and stuff, and the turkeys, I am seeing mushrooms pop up everywhere. Now, we have pasture, and so I've always seen mushrooms, but I'm seeing different types. And so Teresa's always getting these texts from me like, what is this? What is this kind of mushroom? What is that? So, yes, I'm kind of enamored.
I do. Well, it's always been romantic. And, you know, with the gnome books that were out in the 80s, mm-hmm. you know, those big gnome books, they had mushrooms in it. And I'm always, my mother would bring us up, and she was from Scotland, and she would talk to us about the little fairy people who would use mushrooms whenever we went on walks, and we'd have to look for the ferrymen. You'd find them around mushrooms, and they dance around mushrooms, and they sit underneath mushrooms. And so it's just always been very romantic, very Victorian romance for me that I love mushrooms. And so seeing a lot this week, I thought I would talk to, because some people are afraid of them, and some people think that they're bad for the yard. So I wanted to talk about mushrooms. They just grow entirely different from your turf, from plants and trees and shrubs. They don't grow from seed. They grow from fungi that is already in the soil and in your compost piles, in your leaf debris. So it's already in the soil, and then they just pop up when they have matured. Mushrooms are the fruiting bodies of fungus. So it's kind of like the pears and the apple fruit on a tree.
Okay. All right.
And so then when they're mature, when they just are finished, flowering and fruiting, then they drop they decompose. But the spores are airborne carried. So you may not have mushrooms 1 week, but then the wind comes in and it spreads the spores, especially when we have rainstorms and things like that.
So that's why you kind of see patches of them together.
You see patches of them.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And so they like damp, dark places and organic matter. So in your turkey compost pile, that would be the perfect place you're going to see mushrooms.
Okay.
All right. And so they're not dangerous or harmful to the soil. In fact, it just is an indication that you have fertile, good soil with a lot of organic material in it. And you know what? We buy organic material to put into our yards. And so if you haven't done it and you're getting mushrooms, you just need to know you have good soil. Even if it's sandy, it's got enough organic material in it to grow mushrooms. And so, what should you do if you have them? Well, you can dig them up with a shovel. You can, but if you dig them up with a shovel, I would have a bag right there. Because if you carry it across the lawn or pick it up with your hand and carry the mushroom across your lawn, you're going to be dropping those spores off. And you're not going to see them. They're just kind of invisible to the eye. And you're going to spread them across your yard. So, but if you have a waterlogged yard, and I have several clients that do have, heavy water, and we're seeing a lot of flooding here in Central Florida this week, it's just a prime ecosystem for fungal growth and in turn mushrooms. So what can you do? You can trim back your bushes, get more sunlight into your yard so your water evaporates, reduce the shady areas up there. You can also get rid of the leaves. Rake up your leaves, put them in a compost pile so you can use them later. Pick up tree trunks or any wood debris that you have, twigs that have fallen in your yard. And then also to remove animal waste. And so like turkey compost is really good for the yard.
Yes.
But if it's out in your landscape, you're going to see, mushrooms come up from it. So I don't necessarily agree with mowing them over with a lawnmower because it's going to spread. The spores are going to spread.
Oh.
And it may die then, but it's going to come back in the next few years. So you can use baking soda on the area, and it's going to raise the soil pH, and it's going to halt the mushroom growth. But it's kind of like just a homemade recipe. And it's just going to keep coming back. But you can get a commercial fungicide off the shelf that will prevent them from emerging. You can get Heritage, Headway, Scott's Disease Control. You can find something any fungicide on the shelf will work. So mushrooms aren't bad. Make sure that there's a lot of only 2% of the mushroom world is considered bad, but there's thousands of mushrooms, different mushrooms. So I don't necessarily want you picking it up with your hands because you don't know what it is.
That's what I was going to ask, is that I've heard, I don't know if that's just a myth, but I've heard some mushrooms you can actually get sick just by touching
it. Yes. So I would use a glove, garden gloves, plastic gloves, and pick them up out of the yard. Or you can just wait. They're going to go away. And again, I just think they're romantic, so I'm not too bad. If you are mowing your yard, bag your clippings, because that way you'll just pick it up into your bag and you can throw it away, and that won't be bad. But also to check your irrigation system. I have just a couple of clients over the weekend say, no, I don't water too much. But then when we check the irrigation system, they have a leak or pipes broken. So they don't know. It's still going off on schedule twice a week, but they don't know these areas are getting excessive water. So check your irrigation system, and then you can also prevent thatch buildup. Thatch is a really popular medium organic material for mushrooms to grow in, and it's just important. Thatch is caused by overwatering and over-fertilizing. That's what it's caused by. It can also be caused by cutting your lawn too infrequently, so that you get, you know, you're cutting off 3 to 4 inches, and that it's not decomposing the grass blades. So just make sure you're using slow-release fertilizer at the appropriate times. We recommend twice a year. The next time is going to be in October. And then you can then also just take off about an inch to a half an inch of grass at a time. Once a week, mowing is recommended when you have a nice, thick, good lawn. All right. And use slow-release fertilizers. So are mushrooms beneficial to the yard? They grow due to beneficial fungi living in the soil. So they feed on organic matter, they break it down, and they release nutrients that provide, that boost soil fertility. So fertile soil is great for growing grass, flowers, and other plants. And then we see the mushrooms above ground, but we don't see the complex filament system that fungi create underground. So this underground network of mycelia and hyphae helps retain soil moisture, prevents drought stress, and improves plant growth. So that is a good thing. And then soil fungi, like mushrooms, that are responsible for mushrooms, often form symbiotic relationships with plant roots. And so this mycorrhizal relationship helps plants absorb nutrients and water more efficiently. So it is a sign of a healthy landscape that is decomposing, and you don't need to worry about it. There are so many different types of mushrooms again, they're beautiful. They're gorgeous. I love taking photographs of them. But most of them are harmless. The North American Mycological, which is Mushroom Association, says 99% of all mushrooms have little to no toxicity to dogs and cats. However, even non-poisonous ones, even the non-toxic ones, can cause digestive problems. So if you have them in your yard and you have a dog, especially a dog puppy that likes to chew or is little small children, you know, go ahead and pick them up out of the ground, and that will help. So I do appreciate mushrooms. I understand what they're doing. It's just showing you Mother Nature breaking down everything so it can be used by plants.
I think that's really cool. It's kind of good to kind of debunk the myth, because whenever I was growing up, I was just to stay away from mushrooms. They are all bad, as in if you see them in the yard. So it's good to know that, you know, that they aren't as bad as we were told, but right, to be cautious, because if you don't, it's like a snake. You see a snake, are you immediately going to be able to identify, is it venomous or not venomous? So that's right. Good to know that about mushrooms.
Right. So you look for snakes' round eyes. Okay, if it's got round eyes, it's not a bad snake. My dad hated snakes, and he would say, "Teresa, I am not looking at it long enough to find out what shape the eyes are." it's a goner.
up to probably about a few years ago, Shrek's my husband that we call Shrek, his motto was, "A dead snake is a good snake."
Yes.
Until I showed him the difference, you know, the corn snakes and how they,
and
you know,
good.
This. Yes.
They keep down the rodent population. Yep. And so, you yep. know, they're very, very good.
Yep.
And so we're going to take your phone calls now and your text messages, 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text us at 23680. There you go. I've got it. I've got cowboy cookies on my mind. But I also have beautiful gardens that we visited. So I'm looking forward to talking to you about that. You can go onto our Facebook page, Better Lawns and Gardens, and you can like us. Give us a 5-star rating. We would love that. And share with your friends and family. And if your station doesn't run Better Lawns and Gardens, tell them they need to. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios and Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. We would love to have your phone calls, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. Let's go to Eileen in Polk City. Good morning, Eileen. How are you?
I'm fine. Last weekend,
yes,
I reached out to Lizzie, and she said, "Is Teresa okay?" And she said, "It's Labor Day weekend." I said, "Oh, okay."
See, yes, it was. It was Labor Day weekend, and we just took a break. But I also had a conference, a garden conference that I went to. And so in Michigan, so it was just wonderful.
In Michigan,
it was gorgeous.
Wow.
But it wasn't as hot as Florida here. It wasn't really great. How can I help you?
Okay. Breck's Nursery.
That's
the people that I got the lilies from.
Mm-hmm.
They have a midnight marble hibiscus.
Okay.
The leaves are like a dark purple,
uh-huh,
and the flowers are red.
Okay.
It says sun to part shade.
Right.
It'll get sun in the afternoon,
mm-hmm,
and it'll get shade in the morning.
Okay. It'll be just fine.
Will it make it?
Yes. Yes, it will make it. Okay.
Okay.
I would just put it in an area where it's not going to freeze because it's a tropical.
And if it's in an area where it's going to freeze, I have those blankets.
Wonderful.
I can cover it.
You are so good. That's wonderful. Yeah, no, I would. I love anything with black flowers. In fact, we have a show coming up where we're going to be dealing with Gothic plants soon for Halloween. So you'll love that. But yeah, no, the black marble should do just fine.
Great.
All right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, hon. Thank you. Bye-bye. Let's go to Alice in Melbourne. Good morning, Alice. How can I help you?
Well, good morning. I wondered if you could tell me how I can get blooms or flowers on my hibiscus and bougainvillea, both of which seem to just get out of control if I don't trim them. But every time they try to bloom, I go out there and cut them off because they're getting too tall.
Okay.
And so they don't seem to bloom unless they send out another shoot, you know, higher.
Uh-huh.
Put a bloom on the end.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, so here's what you do, Alice. Okay, so you're not cutting enough off of it. So your hibiscus is planted, it's established, it's doing really well. So it likes to grow 8 feet tall. What you need to do is in the springtime, after winter, I would say probably mid-February, go ahead and cut it down to 3 feet.
Oh.
Okay. Yes. You take a deep breath, cut it down to 3 feet, and let it flush out again. And then in August, cut it back down to 3 feet again. And then it'll take a little bit of time, and it'll flush out and have time to flower for you. Now your
Oh, my goodness. That's so drastic.
It's just like a haircut. It'll grow back, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so don't worry about it. You're not cutting it enough so that you're having to cut it every month, and you are cutting the blooms off. So what you want to do is keep it down at the 3 foot to 4 foot height, and then let it flush up to 6 feet, and then cut it down. So if you do it in, you know, mid-February and in August, it should be just fine, and you'll get lots of blooms.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome. Now, your bougainvillea is not getting blooms. It may be getting... You don't have an irrigation system, right?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No.
And so the bougainvillea gets to be 35 feet tall, 35 to 40 feet.
I know.
So,
I don't
again,
want that.
No, you don't. So, again, you need to cut it down to a height that you can manage it and then let it grow again and then cut it down as you need to. So... but don't fertilize it a lot. If you're fertilizing it, it's going to grow a lot of leaves, and it's not going to get the bracts, the colorful bracts. So
I see.
Yeah, so don't fertilize it at all. Kind of let it struggle, and it'll be colorful. But you can cut that, again, twice to three times a year. You'll probably need to cut that more than the hibiscus.
No kidding.
All right.
Boy. All righty.
Thank you, Alice.
It's hard because it has a lot of thorns on it.
Yes, and the bigger you let it grow, the longer those thorns get.
Yep.
So yep, I would cut it, you know,
true.
I would cut it frequently, but don't fertilize it or water it a lot.
Okay.
All right, hon. Thank you so much for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens and calling in. All right. And so we have some great text messages here. We have they didn't give me a name, but they said, I was wondering if there's anything effective against nematodes other than solarizing for 8 or more weeks. Thanks. And she said she loves our show. Thank you so much for listening. Yes, you can use a nemicide. Okay, so there are nemicides on the market, on the shelf, that you can buy and follow the instructions, and it will, the product will tell you how to use it. You can find these at do-it-yourself stores or on the shelf at box stores and then nurseries, like Dana Venrick's Quality Green Specialist. Independent nurseries will have a nemicide that you can put down that will go ahead. But you could also make sure you get a soil test, and that will tell you what kind of nematodes you have. Get a nematode test, soil test, and you can do that at your extension office, your local extension office. So I don't know where you are. So do that, and you'll find out what kind of nematodes you have, and they will tell you a product to use to get rid of it. Okay? Great question. Thank you so much. Let me see here. What is the earliest date to broadcast ryegrass seed this fall? We're hosting a wedding at our home and would like to green up the 2-acre field. We live in Tallahassee, and it's Jay. Good morning, Jay. Thank you so much for texting. When is your event? It's going to take probably 3 to 4 weeks, 5 weeks for you to get a good ryegrass growing. And so you want to do it, in that time. But you also got to check the temperatures. You're going to get a little bit cooler than us, Central Florida. And so as soon as the temperatures get to be right around 75 degrees, then you can start to put out rye seed. And I would say probably late October. So just depends on when your wedding is, that what you want to do. Now, if it's just temporary, and let's say the wedding's coming up in October, then I would go ahead and put it out there, and it will germinate and grow for about 3 to 4 weeks, but then it's going to start to decline. Okay. And so if you just want to do it temporarily for the wedding, then you could do that. If you want it to stay through till after the wedding, then I would wait till probably the end of October. And when the temperatures are averaging 70 degrees, 75 degrees, even a little bit of 80. All right, Jay, great question. Thank you for writing. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. There we go. Let's go with the top five.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
So my top five this week is top five plants with unique foliage shapes. So these are really unique plants that the leaves are very colorful or have a different color, texture, or shape. And the top five are a triangle ficus, and that's called Ficus triangularis. It is beautiful. It is heart-shaped and green and creamy leaves. Leopard plant, one of my favorites, is Farfugium japonica, and it's shaped like a John Deere tractor seat. It has beautiful yellow flowers, great for the shade. Then there's the hardy tapioca, and that is Mantaut grahami, and it is a beautiful alien spaceship-like leaves. They're really cool, very architectural, pointed edges on it, very cool. Then the giant rhubarb, amazing. This is a tall, tall plant. It's called Gunnera manicotta, and it is wonderful for planting in an area if you have a large yard. And then one of my favorites, Begonia escargot. Begonia rex culturum escargot. It looks like a snail. Speaking of snails this morning, it has a beautiful gray and burgundy leaf that it spins, the leaves spin in a color. Wonderful. So those are my top five plants with unique foliage. And I have to tell you, Lizzie, when I was leading the garden tour in Ireland, there was a garden we went to that had large, huge gunnera. And one of my garden group said, "Teresa, what's the name of that plant?" And really loud for the whole, the castle gardens, everyone to hear, I said, "It's called gonorrhea." And I went, "No, no, that's not its name. No, 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 not that. It's gonorrhea, G-U-N-N-E-R-A.
I would have done the same thing.
Oh, it just popped out, but I shouted it across the garden. It was quite embarrassing. In Ireland, they said, "Those Americans." So let's go to Jean in, let's see, Port St. Lucie. Good morning, Jean. How can I help you?
Hi. Just wondering, how many bags of black cow do you recommend for a 4x4 garden, a vegetable garden area that might have some compost in it?
Okay. I would recommend one large 40-pound bag.
Ah, oh, that's perfect.
Okay. One bag, and you can put two. You can put two in there if you want to, if you feel that it needs it.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's all.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Jean. Black cow is wonderful in the garden, and it's a good choice. So so Brenda from Ocoee, you've been very patient. Thank you so much. She wanted to know. Let me just do this. Here we go. I am doing technology, and her question is: she is using a light coating of baking soda to slow down spread of basket weed and dove weed. Does the basket soda cause any long-term effects to the lawn? And Brenda in Ocoee, no, it doesn't. Okay, it's literally going to soak in the ground with the rain, and I would wait probably till after this week is over with, when you know you have 3 to 5 days of, you know, no rain conditions, then to use it rather than this week, because the rain is going to just wash it away. Going to seep into the ground, and it's not going to really be effective with this rain. Okay, great question, Brenda. Then Nancy in Merritt Island says, "Hi, I love your show. Thank you so much." She listens every time she can. Her question is, "I live in a first floor apartment, and I'm looking for ideas on colorful plants to put outside. My yard faces north, and I'm allowed about 2 feet off of my porch. Right now, the garden area is covered with pine needles. Should I take them out or plant in or under them? Thanks for so much for an amazing show." Nancy, great question. Colorful plants you can use, because it's going to get morning sunlight. If you're facing north, you're going to get morning sun, okay? And you can do pentas. You can do all kinds of variegated plants. Go to the nursery and just see what pops out at you. Vinca will work. Also, too, butterfly, whirling butterflies will work. And you could do plumbago. One plumbago, it gets to be about 3 to 4 feet wide. You may have to cut it once a year. But there are so many colorful plants. I would go to the nursery, tell them, or look for plants that can take morning sun, afternoon shade, and those will be the plants that you can grow with. Morning sun, afternoon shade. And just go to the nursery and look at what's blooming and what makes your heart sing. And that's the kind of color you would like.
Yes, exactly.
So just, there's so many gorgeous ones right now. And in fact, I have what to plant in the month of September. And I will be telling that in the second hour. So you can go ahead and in the second hour of today's show, I'll be talking about what to do in your yard in the month of September. And I'll give you a little bit more more flower names that you can write down and go look at. So what colors do you like? You know, what's going gorgeous? And that's a really good, I think, combination is morning sun, afternoon shade.
Yes.
And I really like it because you get the sun and you wake up in the morning. And then, but by the heat of the day, you know, noontime, 1, 2 o'clock, then you get a little bit of the shade.
Yes.
And so that's wonderful for plants.
Yes. And when I'm a color person, so I always do what I call boy and girl colors. So, which I know that's not appropriate these days.
Oh, but no, you like, can't boy colors. What are boy colors
like,
for you?
The blues, browns, a darker yellow, because a yellow can be either way.
Sure.
So, and the darker green or greens.
Yes.
So whenever I plant stuff, my favorite colors are purple and blues.
Right.
And I hate pink, unless it's like neon or it has to do with breast cancer. Those are the only pinks that I like.
Yes.
But, so it's hard for me to get a pink flower. So I stick with a lot of purples, which I consider girl color.
Yes.
So, but yeah, I try to mix in, and then the white kind of just offsets everything. So that throw that in.
Did you see the pink hibiscus I have on my Facebook page?
No, I'm going to go check it out.
Oh, check it out. It's called Berry Awesome. Took my breath away. It is deep, dark pink. Mm. And the newsletter is out, Lizzie.
I know.
And so
I
September's newsletter is out. If you'd like to receive it, it's free. I don't spam. Don't sell your name or anything like that. I keep it all private. And you can go to my website, she-consulting.com, and put in your email address and your zip code, and it will sign you up for it. I have talking about torpedo grass this month in the landscape, and then also Teresa's design tips. How to make a lovely, lush, tropical outdoor room. And then also landscape malpractice is a common one.
That was really good.
Yeah.
That was good to see.
Yeah. It was just amazing. You know, you see that. And then, Lizzie, you have your garden adventures on there.
Yes.
And you can go read about Lizzie's garden adventures, and she's got really great photographs. And then also, too, my plant of the month.
I'm ordering one. I saw it, and again, purple's my color. You said it was blue. I'm like, okay, it looked purple to me. You're like, no, wait.
It changes colors.
Yes.
And so it goes from pink to blue to then purple. And it's, you know, so you have to check that one out. And it's a really great, great plant. So check out the newsletter. Go to our Facebook page and like us. And then tell one other person about Better Lawns and Gardens. We would really appreciate it. I'd like to say hello to all of our listeners outside the country, in Singapore, Japan. We're just getting, just a really big following there. And then all the way to Germany and also Asia and India. So just want to say good morning, good afternoon to everyone listening out there.
Yes,
we do appreciate it.
And it's good because we do have a lot of texts too from out of the United States too. So we appreciate it because as long as you let us know where your zone is, and you don't have to know your zone number to say what city, you can make up a name. And then that way Teresa can give you some good advice.
That is true. And so let's see. Frank from Brooksville, I'm going to read your text and answer your question in the next hour. And then also Joy from Winter Springs. I'm going to get back to that. And so bougainvillea is a plant that people always have a lot of questions on. So we'll be talking about that too as well. Just write it down, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. We have the dirty word of the day coming up and answering your gardening questions. And I'm going to be talking about the fabulous gardens. If you're from Michigan, you're going to want to stay tuned because go to Michigan, you have to go to this botanical garden and sculpture park. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios and Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.